They tell an old, famous, and pretty classic Jewish joke. And the joke really makes you picture four happy old Jewish men sitting around, perhaps an old age home. Maybe their Gemara's on the table in front of them, laughing, the tennis balls on the bottom of their walker. And one of them tells his friend, he says, you know, why are so many Jewish people chiropractors? And they all say, well, I don't know. And he tells them, well, Moshe called us. I'm Kishe Oref, a stiff-necked nation. But I'm not sure if you've heard this joke before or not, but it seems like it's no laughing matter. Moshe Rabbeinu, he goes into a bit more detail about what really happened at the episode of the Golden Calf, the Egel HaZohav, in which he says, Vayihi Miketz, it was at the end of Arboim Yoim V'Arboim Laila, Nosan Hashem Eilai, Shnei Luchos HaAvonim Luchos HaBris. Moshe Rabbeinu learning the Torah up in the heavens. And then Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem Eilai. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kum, get up, raid, go down from the mountain. Maher, quickly, sprint. Mizeh, from here. Kishiches Amcha, for the nation has defiled itself. Asher hoitzeisa mimitzrayim, the nation that I brought out of Egypt. Soru maher min haderch, they have strayed quickly from the path. Asher tzivisim, that I have commanded them to follow. Asu lohem masecha, they have made themselves a molten image. This was the ultimate catastrophe. Chazal tell us that there isn't a single punishment or suffering that goes on in even this generation that doesn't have some form of a kapara, a form of atonement for the Egel HaZav. It was the Jewish people at the foot of Har Sinai dancing around an Avodah Zarah, like a kala being unfaithful underneath the chuppah. Ramban adds that they were being mesachik. There was some sort of joy in this defilement. Moshe Rabbeinu spiking these mighty and sacred tablets down on the floor, smashing them to smithereens. But before we get into this week's idea, I would like to examine Moshe Rabbeinu's recapitulation of this episode with a couple different questions to try to focus on one idea, perhaps even one body part, that holds the key to this idea based on the odd lashon that Moshe Rabbeinu used in his musar to the nation. And with the Almighty's help, we'll hopefully have something practical that we can take from it that will help us connect to the Almighty and be an aid in our avodas Hashem. At times it can be a bit Kabbalistic, but let us give it our best shot. The first question I want to ask on this pasuk, and all of this comes from the great Rav Yerucham Levovitz, the Mashkiach of Yeshiva Asmir during the Roaring Twenties, along with pieces from the great Shem Mishmuel. It's very interesting here that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to sprint down the mountain. They're doing Avodah Zarah. Run right now. Maher, quickly, sprint. But, you know, Klal Yisrael has violated the commandment of not to be involved in idolatry, Avodah Zarah, countless times. It's sad to say and it's hard to admit, but this isn't the first time that Jewish people, at least and even in the wilderness, were involved in Avodah Zarah. Why here was it so bad that Moshe Rabbeinu had to stop learning in the heavens and Hashem said, get up and run down the mountain? Secondly, Moshe Rabbeinu is told to go down because of the sins that the congregation is committing down below. But it's not immediately apparent what the sin is. Hashem says run down because this nation is defiling itself. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets down there and says, Vayomer Hashem Eilai, Hashem told me, Lema ra'isi es ha'am, that I see a nation azev, v'hinei am kishei oref, they're stubborn who. So what exactly was the sin? Hashem in the heavens, it sounds like, told Moshe Rabbeinu that they are a stubborn nation. It's not immediately apparent what the sin was. It's just that they were acting in a stubborn manner. Was it Avodah Zarah? So why not say it was the idolatry? Was it the dancing around it, perhaps? Maybe put a stronger emphasis on that. But it just says that we were stubborn. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's message. And then lastly, perhaps the strongest question and the one I want to use as the springboard for the rest of the questions, to answer the rest of the questions. Why was the stubbornness of the Jewish people told over in the form of stiff necks? We are deemed a very stubborn nation that has defiled themselves. The words are Am Keshei Oref. I'm a nation Keshei that is rigid, that is stiff. And Oref means a neck, a stiff neck nation. But just tell us, they are stubborn. Jewish people, why are you sinning? Why are you so obstinate and unwilling to change your path and finally actually buy into what the Almighty wants? Why the neck? What does that body part have to do with the midah of stubbornness? So it's interesting. When you look at the human body, a couple things stick out. Don't you think that it seems odd that the head, which is the house for all of the most vital faculties that our body really relies on, the brain, the eyes, all of it that goes on in the head, is perched up very precariously upon this small gulf-like T called the neck? It's almost like a very wobbly bowling ball is sitting on top of this shaky, small, narrow passage. Wouldn't it make more sense if you were creating a human body to have this all-important body part called the rosh, the head, attached to the rest of the body, to the trunk? But the way that the body is designed is that the neck, the spine, has 33 different vertebrae. And the top 7 vertebrae make up the neck region. We're talking here between the bottom of the skull until the shoulder blades. And the neck is filled with some other tissue and some ligaments. The neck is the juncture that connects the head to the body. It is the spot, actually, that makes us quite vulnerable to attacks. And if somebody will say, off with your head, or somebody will, God forbid, be sentenced to death, an attack on the head, you don't attack the head. You go for the neck, because the head, it needs the neck. And therefore, don't you think it's odd? Why not make it much safer? Let's protect. Let's invest heavily in the safety of the rosh, the head, and actually connect it to the body. Just kind of move everything down. Let the gullet and the windpipe and the jugulars be inside of the torso, along with the other organs. What is the purpose of the neck? For the Almighty created the perfect human body. What can we learn from this Oref? And here we go. Hope you went to the mikvah, and we are in a state of purity. Let's jump into some Zohars, some Kabbalah. But I don't think it's above our pay grade. And hopefully, it actually will be quite insightful. See, there's a Yesod from the Arizal that tells us that the neck is actually the spot that connects Ruchnius to Gashmius, spirituality to the physical world. And it comes from a verse in Shir HaShirim in which Shlomo HaMelech calls the Beis HaMikdash the neck of the world. It's also mentioned like this further on in Sefer Devarim. God willing, we'll have the chance to talk about it. The Beis HaMikdash deemed the Oref the neck, says the Arizal, because the spot in which the Almighty connects with the world, the portal to heaven, the conduit from the heavens down to the earth, is the Beis HaMikdash. The neck, the conduit, the connector, Ruchnius to Gashmius. And furthermore, the Arizal brings a proof or the Shemi Shmuel, really elaborates on this idea. At this point in Torah, in the famous episode of the meet and greet between Yosef and Binyamin, the long-lost brothers who finally meet again after such an extended period of time, and they cry upon each other's savorim, upon each other's necks. And Rashi points out, why does the Torah tell us that they cried on each other's necks specifically? Why that body part? Because they were crying about the future impending destructions of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdashes, these holy structures that were going to be in their territory, respectively, that were going to be condemned, destroyed. And the commentators are all grappling, trying to understand where in the verse does Rashi HaKadosh find an allusion to the Beis HaMikdash's impending destruction, and this is why the brothers were crying. And the Shemi Shmuel elaborates and bringing this Zohar, telling us that because the neck always represents the Beis HaMikdash, because the neck, like the Beis HaMikdash, is that which connects the upper worlds to the lower worlds, the Rosh, the place of Seichel, the place of intelligence, the Makom of Kedusha. It connects it down to the rest of the body. The Beis HaMikdash, like the neck, is the touch point, the connector between the spiritual and the physical. The Kabbalah sources further attach this to the concept of why the tefillin knot on the back of the shel rosh, that little knot of the yud in the back of the shel rosh, is placed on the back of the neck. There's something deep here going on with trying to penetrate Kedusha and open up that narrow passage in the neck to connect the rosh to the guf. That is the avoda of the neck. Furthermore, if the head should just be without the neck, sitting down very nice and tight with the rest of the body, it would be too close of a connection between the Ruchnius and the Gashmius. Very interesting idea here being conveyed, but it seems like there should be some sort of separation. Actually, it comes to mind, there is an idea from the Chafetz Chaim. This is why the three out of the four species that we shake on Sukkos, the lulav, the esrog, the arovos, and the hadasim, the esrog is actually held separate. That represents the one that has taste and smell. Perhaps you've heard that idea before. And the tzaddik should hold himself somewhat together, but somewhat separate, aloof, alone, as B'nai Levi, with the Almighty, sacrosanct. But to be too separate, to have the head totally disattached, sending messages perhaps through the airways back to the body, that would be too far. A leader, a king, a holy tzaddik should be connected through the neck. Some sort of partial connection in which the Kedusha can connect back and forth. So back at the ranch, perhaps we have an idea now. Perhaps this is why Moshe Rabbeinu found the stubbornness that the Jewish people were exposing in their character traits to be a false and putrid manifestation of what a person's neck is actually supposed to be. You are, as a Jewish person, tasked with that moral obligation to take the ideas in the head, that which you know, v'yodata, that which you know, and move it down into your heart, v'yodata hayoim v'hashevosa el levavecha. And yet we know that the great Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the great leader of the Musar movement, told us that there isn't a larger, a greater distance in the world than between a person's head and a person's heart. We know what we are supposed to be doing. We could probably tell you the Ten Commandments by heart. We know the words, v'yahavta l'reicha kamoicha and v'higisa b'yoimam v'olayla. But perhaps our actions at times, those maisim that are governed by the heart, don't always personify that which we know in the head. And what is in the way? What is the conduit and what is the bridge connecting what we know in the head and the heart? Perhaps it is very much the neck. And the Jewish people, they knew what they were supposed to be doing. But yet their actions fell short, and they were deemed stubborn in the neck. I'm Kishay Oyerev. You know what you're supposed to be doing, so why aren't you doing it? And Rabbi Yerucham, he tells us a very scary line, and this is where we're going to answer the next question. This is why Moshe Rabbeinu was told to hustle down the mountain, sprint. For there are many spiritual maladies, many different shortcomings that we can live life with. And our job is tshuva, to repent, to eradicate the evil tendencies. All midos can be perfected. That is indeed our job on this earth. Says Rabbi Yerucham, though, however, there is one horrible, wretched, spiritual malady that if you stretch yourself too far and fall too deep into this mida, there is no coming back and there can be no complete repentance. And that mida is being am kishay oref, being stubborn. For even the thoughts of tshuva never penetrate because you are so entrenched in your ways. Even if a mensch, God forbid, is involved in the three cardinal sins, but he still has hirhurei tshuva, he still understands that what he's doing isn't right, then he still has all the chance in the world. But the second that he buys in and he becomes so obstinate, he's unwilling to change or to even hear thoughts of tshuva, to hear any mussar from his Rebbe, well then he is left without any hope, bleeding out on the ground alone. So Moshe, yes, sprint down this mountain and save them, not just because the sin of the Egel HaZahav, perhaps even the simcha that they are displaying in it, dancing like Simchas Torah around this magical idolatrous calf, but no, run down because they're being obstinate. They are stubborn. And stubbornness, there's no coming back from it. In fact, just a couple psukim later in our parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu, continuing in his final drasha, his final testament, his tzava'ah, his soliloquy, his famous and majestic monologue, he says the words, umaltem es orlas levavchem, and you shall cut away the barrier of your heart. V'orpachem loisak shu'od, and no longer stiffen your neck. And there's a fascinating Ramban here, describing how the Jewish people, humans, we are created with a certain orla, a foreskin on our hearts. It's our job to do a bris mila on the heart. Shayelavavchem pasuach, says the Ramban, that their hearts were not open. Our hearts are not created open. Ladaso emes. Like Asher asisem ad hayom shaloi nasan Hashem lochem lev ladas ve'inayim lerois ve'oznayim lishmaya. It takes a bris mila on the heart to get rid of the stiffening of the neck. Ve'arpachem. And the stiff neck. Loisak shu'od. Says the Ramban. Shalotia ka'avoiseichem. To not be like that generation, the Dor, Soira, or Moira, the generation that went wayward, that they were ones who had learned bad practices in Egypt, and they were struggling. It was very hard to get rid of these practices. Kimosha Asu, like they did, as Egel, Ukraam Sham, and Moshe testified about them. Am Kishay Oyref, they are stubborn. They know what to do, yet they cannot rid themselves of the practices of the Mitzrim. Shaloya Shuva Min Hatos. They can't repent from their mistakes. Shenichnas Belibam, that have entered into their hearts. Lachshov, Shiyesh To Elas Ba'avaydas HaMalachim, to really believe and understand the greatness of what it means to be a part of the Jewish nation, Otzavo Hashemai. Unbelievable words. The Jewish people, we have an orla, a foreskin on our heart. There's this narrow passage called the neck that is separating between the mind and the heart, and there's some sort of blockage, some sort of inborn clog, and it's our job to split that open and to let the ideas settle inside of the crevices, the nooks and crannies of our hearts. But it is the neck that stands in the way. And it is the neck that Moshe Rabbeinu pinpointed as the issue. Jewish people, Am Kshei Oyeref is your sin. Stop with the obstinance. Stop with the stubbornness. And please repent before it's too late. Circumcise your heart while you still have time. And let the ideas penetrate into that heart. Now, it is noteworthy that the neck region is responsible for another motion in the body. Another responsibility that the neck has to the head, and that is bowing. The ability to let that head prostrate itself in a form of subservience, in a form of obedience. We are told during Shemoneh Esrei to bow the head multiple times in the showing of our subjugation to the creator of the world. And indeed, a melech, a king, must, tells us the Rambam, bow down the entire Shemoneh Esrei, for he may naturally be more inclined, based on his position of power, for a lack of subjugation to the creator of the world. So he bows the whole time. And in one of the most famous denials of leadership and political marches, the holy Mordechai HaTzadik during the Purim story, when Haman HaRasha was walking past with an idol on his neck and everyone was commanded to bow down to him, and the pasuk says, but Mordechai lo yichira velo yishtachave. He would not even budge, and he would not bow down. The Ralbag, he points out that the Jewish people, the stubbornness is also our godless. He has a beautiful and fascinating approach to this topic based on where Moshe Rabbeinu, actually at the earlier and initial telling of the episode of the golden calf, in which Moshe Rabbeinu discusses that of the obstinance of the Jewish people, the Am Kshei Oref, and the Ralbag actually learns that this is the argument that Moshe Rabbeinu used to save the Jewish people, for he argued that acting in a stubborn manner was going to be a necessity in order to live through the generations. The Jewish people's actually living and dying best attribute, that which has enabled our existence throughout the sands of time, is exactly our stubbornness. The fact that even in the face of terror, Mordechai lo yichra velo yishtachave, he wouldn't budge. And Rav Hirsch, expanding, expounding, digressing, and explaining about this topic, he tells us how many different poshita yidden have walked in the face of doom and said, not today. You will not break my will. I will not budge. You can't help but think about Hannah and her sons when the king told them, bow down, and they wouldn't even move even the slightest vertebrae in that neck region. The Kshei Oyeref of a Yid is what has enabled us to endure. The stubbornness and the stalwart observance of that holy moral law is perhaps the only conceivable way that the Jewish people still exist. When you think about how many Kiddushei Eliyah and how many individuals perished and died al Kiddush Hashem by the hands of the Nazis within the last couple hundred years, how would it be possible without this midah of stiff-necked nation? Am Kshei Oyeref is our call to glory. When you imagine that famous episode in which Ben-Gurion said, we're going to draft all of the Jewish girls into the army, a place unsuitable for a holy Jewish daughter, for a Bas Yisrael, totally unfitting, and the Chazon Ish said absolutely not. And then Ben-Gurion said, but we have an army and we're not afraid to shoot. What gave the Chazan Ish the koyach to open up his jacket and say, go ahead and shoot? And who is stronger? Somebody who's prepared to shoot or somebody who's prepared to take the bullet? If not for this midah of obstinance, of stubbornness, a famous nation, a glorious nation, and I'm Kishay Oyref. It's just unconscionable to think of any way that a nation so small, the Torah tells us we're to be small, and so scattered, so dispersed amongst the other nations throughout all of the different parts of the world, the corners of the earth, that we can still survive, and not only survive, but flourish. Stubbornness. I'm Kishay Oyref. When you look at the great ones, and even in the face of such adversity, with such an onslaught of immorality and ideas that the Jewish people don't believe in pouring in to our communities and homes, but the great ones, they remember the words of Shlomo HaMelech at the end of Shir HaShirim, Ani Choyma, but I'm a wall. I am stone wall. I cannot be moved. I'm stubborn. I will not relent. Perhaps is the midah of stubbornness that is our kiyum, what establishes our survival on earth. So is the head precariously perched up high like a golf ball upon a golf tee, upon that narrow passage called the neck, connecting it down to the human body? And does it put us in a certain place of peril? Well, yes. But was it done by perfect design? Yes. And did Moshe Rabbeinu single out the neck as the connection between the head, the spiritual, the body, the gashmius? Yes. And does Rashi HaKadosh tell us that when Yosef and Binyamin cried on each other's necks, it was a symbol of the Beis HaMikdash, just like Shlomo HaMelech told us in Dalet, that the Beis HaMikdash is the conduit, the connection between the Kadosh and the gashmius? Yes. And is the neck the spot of where the Jewish people can and only can endure on this earth? Yes. And is our stubbornness our ultimate downfall? Yes. And is our stubbornness portrayed in the neck? Something that if it stretches too far, something that is such a malady that there's no coming back from? Yes. And is it why Moshe Rabbeinu ran down the mountain to stop us from this stubborn tree? Yes. But however, is the neck also what Mordechai refused to bend, even the slightest centimeter, when Haman walked by? Yes. And have thousands of Jews throughout our diaspora and history refused to bend their neck in the face of adversity and the winds of change begging them to give up their hopes of godless? Yes. Is the neck the spot that forms the bridge between the what we know in our heads and what we must let settle comfortably inside of our hearts? Yes. So when Moshe Rabbeinu, he ran down that mountain and he focused on the necks of the Jewish people, being rigid, being stiff, it makes a lot of sense to us. We know what a neck is, and we also know what we have to do. We know where to be stubborn, where to be obstinate, where to be resolute, and refraining from even the slightest iota of giving in to the winds of change, to those that ask us to give up on our moral obligations and to say, oh, we're so far from Har Sinai, give it a break, it's not possible, you won't reach godless. Yeah, we're stubborn, and that is our kiyum. And at the same token, diametrically opposed to this, it is also the neck that must be opened, that we must give a maltem, we must give a bris milah on the neck, to open it up and let the ideas that we know in the head settle and make an impact inside of our hearts. Stubbornness, obstinance is everything to a Jew. It is just very crucial that we pick, select, and choose where to use this midah, for our very lives hang in the balance.